only if you certify this thing as what document you forgot. Hmm. It's raging. I don't do this whether or not he wrote my document. But he told me at the time the only documents I took out were the ones I put in the pop-up. Cool. He would like me to sign a document statement. But that's where he is now.
Under oath.
So I told him to submit it under oath.
Why did he say to you, hey, Chuck, you said something to you that he indicated he didn't want to, he sort of regretted his position? Not
all regretted. He told me he, and I knew John, I worked with him here. I knew him.
You know him, huh?
But, oh, I worked with him here. There were any number of questions we had.
Well, of course, you were on
there. They submitted to him. And as counsel to counsel, sure. I worked with John Dean. But executive privilege, I'm out here planning for security assistance. We must do justice. We have several meetings over here about a number of things like this. Well, I knew John fairly well, and what he said was that he was putting in a very difficult position. But he certainly regretted being. Implication was that he didn't like where he was. He said he was having to testify on everything under the sun. Everybody wanted to know what he did throughout his full time here. Couldn't tell him that without his file. He said, what can I do without copies of my file? And I said, what you can do under that circumstance is tell him you testify to the best of your recollection. That's all you can do. But that's what you'll have to do.
That's all
you can't have copies.
Right.
So,
or you could really get a copy of his file.
Well,
that
would make a difference.
That's what my point. What it turns out. Then why is he making such a great point of it?
Incidentally, we should give his personal file.
Okay.
His income tax returns.
Yeah.
And we'll have to have these inventories. About a draw and a half of them.
Yeah.
His divorce paper.
Yeah.
That was one of his complaints. About getting his files. The other was being able to testify on what party took in IT&T, IT&T investigation. What party took in the Vesco affair.
Yeah.
I don't know myself what it was.
I don't
and he had one other that I don't recall what it was, but three in particular, just being interrogated about. Also him. And he didn't get specific.
All right, IT&T, there's nothing on that today. Why the heck would they be put out?
I don't know why they're questioning. I think it'll be a relatively short period when we have this high intense interest. After that, they will get to the motion stage of the trial.
I'm sorry, I'm a little ready for that.
And it'll bore everybody to death because everybody will get quite tired of the motion period. And the motion calendar on this case will probably last 6 days long. And you could have enough of appeals in the process. And this comes from probably to all of the most of the defense
lawyers. Who do you think are going to be defendants out there?
Well, the obvious ones are
Mitchell and McGregor.
Mitchell and McGregor.
Will LaRue be a defendant? LaRue?
LaRue will be a defendant.
He will be.
LaRue will be a defendant. And he's made a very full statement.
As one who knew about the participation in it, or as a cover-up?
As one who furnished the money to the defendants.
Well, then he says that he's, is he admitting he furnished it for purposes of covering?
The newspapers report that that is his testimony to the grand jury.
Oh, is it an indication of the country? Dean was in California to talk to Holloman early in February, when Lincoln's birthday. And they were just talking, you know, they were talking about the...
And Moore was there.
Moore was there.
Ah.
Yeah. And I didn't see him. I was there and I didn't see him at all.
Dick Moore talked to me about that meeting.
I don't know anything about it.
This one person has come up with on the wiretaps. Martin has testified. And Bob came by and talked to me before he testified. That sometime around the first part of July 71, through the same committee, saw you explain the situation for purpose to the wiretap law. That Bill Sullivan thought they should not be left there. And he has told the committee that you instructed him to take possession of the law. A statement on the record, I believe, and I'm trying to find it, of Ron, the fact that you knew, did not know the law for the phone house.
I'm throwing that. I don't remember that Marty ever talked to me about it. I think it's more likely he talked to Ehrlichman about it.
Right.
Well, I have no recollection of it, but it could be true.
I know.
I would have done it. I would have done it in a minute. I would have done it in a minute. Because Sullivan, we trusted implicitly.
I talked to Bob about this thing. Bob and his lawyer to come in and talk to the committee. He insisted this was the case. And I questioned at length about it because he had told me previously not what the subject was, but that he had seen you when he went to California. At that time, we were in very close contact with the book working on the Ellsworth case, almost 4 hours.
Well, look, but we're making a big thing out of it.
But let me say, in the next instance, Bob said, that he got the boxes. He doesn't know how long he had them. But it was sometime subsequently when Bob, John Ehrlichman called him and asked him to bring them over here. So, it was not necessary that you knew they were ever brought over here. You know, there's a difference between having Bob Marty, who was in judgment. You take possession. And then knowing that they were in the White House, that was an entirely different transaction. So that's...
Martin says that he told me that Sullivan wanted to move to the White House.
And I know that Sullivan wanted him out of the department, out of the FBI.
Yeah.
And that Martin took possession. And Martin says, he told him, you're going to accept it.
Well, the point is that Martin wasn't working in the White House. So.
Martin was not. Martin was an assistant attorney general.
Well, that's my point then. That's perfect.
That's the point. That's the
perfect position. Martin had possession, right? I don't remember the conversation because, but I would have, so they entertain him. Let's say that further down the road, if they come to this state and say, I may have to survey my recollection and all that sort of thing, I would hope not. I would just hope that, I'll tell you what I think, I think Jeff Cajon, not us, or even if you'd like to talk
about it,
not far away from us. Oh, yeah, you've got the label. Probably trial.
If he alleges a conspiracy that they're all, one will not testify against the other so that his testimony can be used if they're all under the same indictment. So that gives him a great problem of the blanket indictment. At this point, he has rejected.
Well,
it shows how far he's willing to go to stop the Senate committee.
What else can he do? If he doesn't do that, he could move on some of them.
He could move on some of them. The problem is, if he approaches them realistically, he can't get any of the people close to you in the White House. At least as far as he can get. He can't get early, and he can't get home at this point. No, he doesn't have the evidence.
Well,
he can get an indictment. But he doesn't have the evidence to take it to trial.
Maybe if this indictment considered indictment.
Or at this point, quite possible he's considered that. In the blanket indictment.
What else did you say would be indicted in your opinion?
Mitchell, Magruder, Slum may be. You will probably indict.
Strong?
It is Strong.
Strong maybe.
Strong maybe. Ms. Harmony for perjury.
Oh.
She's got several perjury counts. She was Liddy's secretary of the committee. He doesn't have anything on which to do. The prosecutors have told him they have no case against culture.
What about Kalmbach?
Kalmbach, they really haven't been into in too much detail yet with the committee. I mean, with the prosecution. That's a very difficult area for them to get into. Kalmbach raised the money.
But he didn't pass it out?
But he hasn't passed it out.
No.
And he didn't.
He could just say, I raised it because I thought it was supposed to.
Kalmbach thinks he will be indicted.
But he will be indicted? He does.
But he thinks he will be.
He thinks he will be.
I don't really know because I haven't talked to
him.
I haven't really talked to him.
God, he's right. For him to get indicted for raising money for crime, I'm obviously. You got another guy in there that's raised money, Tom Pappas.
Yes, his name is Tom Pappas.
They don't
think they pursued him.
You got to indict Tom Pappas because he raised money and gave it to him.
And it will depend. They're almost going to need Mitchell's testimony before they can get Pappas, and I can't conceive that Mitchell will ever come. Because Mitchell's a link, apparently, in that money raising fund.
Now, the Dean can testify. Dean, in the 21st conversation, mentioned Mitchell was getting money from Pappas.
But it's a question of whether Dean could testify as to what Pappas knew about the purpose for the money. Because he would have had to sit in on meetings with Pappas, and he has never alleged that he has, that he did.
I'm sure Pappas didn't have the slightest idea what the purpose was. No, he's John says I need some money, you know, and I want to get him and he can cover up with it. The intent, that's where I think with Kalmbach, I don't think Kalmbach, I just can't see his thing that he had any damage in his hand. That's an early time he raised the money for anyway. Here's my bet. Pappas was raised it even late. He was being used by Mitchell. That's in my kind of first conversation.
One of the problems we have to face realistically is, it's hard to see how it comes out. It's a conflict between self-interest and animosity. It's very clear that among many of the people involved here, Mitchell on the one hand, and John and possibly Bob on the other, that there appears now to be some negative amount of animosity.
Sure.
To what extent they will do each other damage, or can, while not protecting their own.
But John, for example, they say they've been pretty rough on John Mitchell. I'm not sure, but from the way I piece this together, I agree with you talking about the world. Mitchell may not have approved it specifically, but he approved the writing. And there is something, some conversation to the effect that he told him to go back and get more stuff and so it wasn't good enough for her. Mitchell was present when Dean Savard and Gruber heard it, so Gruber was able to come back. And Mitchell also was involved, certainly with Pappas, because Dean referred to Marshall for this conversation.
Mitchell probably had Mitchell.
He said directly that Mitchell had, that Mitchell was, that Pappas was helping. I'm curious enough reflection on that conversation. I know that. With immunity gets up and starts down that trail, I don't think that
we won't have a problem.
I guess deal with this. I have a problem for 10 months. He didn't tell me. What do you think?
Well, the circumstances can be used to affect his growth of his own. Might get one of the problems.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep it up to make sure that he's growth is a consolation. The fact that he is now trying to say he will do about it, even by his testimony, he sat on it on January 72 when he first knew about the Watergate question.
Right.
All the way through until more than a year later.
Assuming that he's on the February 27th he told me about it, which he did.
It would still be more than a year that he literally hid from you what was going on. And now he's trying to hang you with it.
The president was aware of
the conversation he had with you a year after the whole thing started and had been in progress.
Why do you think the lawyers are maybe Woodward and Hirsch trying to do it? Why are they trying to put this back into January? That's a curious thing. They know that. They must know we have a loss. They know that he didn't come in. He knows it. He knows he didn't sing.
He's not bound by anything they...
I know, but why would they do it?
They want to give the impression. You see, anything they know as well, that anything he told you, certainly after March the 21st, is of no help to him, because it won't do him any good. Anything, either even in March, gets close to the time. So they've got to get it back as far as they can, even with exaggeration, because Dean won't be helpful. He didn't say this. So they've got to make the best case they can to grow. I guess they'll struggle as much as possible.
That's where they were.
They could reach.
No.
January.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, I looked at the paper prepared for him, and he doesn't have the law. He does not have.
He does not have the law. The one who got back on paper and went to the side of the law. And this is where he run into trouble. He probably thinks he didn't make the people he gave to the law for that period. This was one of the things I'm sure he wanted to do to get system.
But why doesn't he have a law for January? Just because there's nothing in it. The blank page.
He asked before he left here for specific questions and asked for the log for a certain period. He asked for the log for March and April. Now, you may remember the meeting in February, but he doesn't for neither January nor February, in my recollection, does he have the log. Because on the 19th of April, he was thinking in terms of this March and April. Probably at that time, legitimately, just to try to get straight in his head. And those are the dates he specifically asked about. He does not have the log for the prior year because he didn't know what date specifically it was in September that he said.
This was April 19th, right? Did you got this from?
Yes. It was April 19th, the date of that. I had the impression that this was the impression he wanted to give. I work with a number of members of your staff, and I guess I've never fully really accepted it.
Yeah. Find these thoroughly accepted, which must have given Dean enormous credibility to all this.
I had a fellow few because I was working on the national security side of the house and monitoring the operations for the military, so I had some idea the other things you were working on. I mean, you couldn't be spending all that time on the thing he was working on. I mean, you know, there was some doubt up there, I could never be sure.
But is it possible that the possibility is misled his lawyers?
No, sir. I don't think
so. So then, that means better, huh?
I think he hasn't allowed for them. He may actually not remember when this series of meetings started. Both of his lawyers are plenty capable of stretching it themselves.
I see.
I know who Schaefer is. I've run into him before. He's a very partisan Democrat. He's antagonistic to me, sure. So, and he's capable of stretching most anything.
Looks like lawyers stretching him. The lawyers may have stretched the whole thing in terms of the president was aware of.
They're trying to get this man away. And
they undoubtedly
know that the best case they can make is cumulable damage they can do to the other one.
Yeah, they like it for partisans.
That's right.
I don't know. Would you think Cox would want to give him immunity?
I think Cox will not want to give anybody immunity. one of them has told himself that Dean has any substantive information which he would give on an oath, that would tie you into trouble. They just do not believe he has anything he would give on an oath. That's a careful choice of words. They are as skeptical about how far Dean was going to exaggerate on an oath as well. They're the first one that ever raised a question to me.
Well, the only thing he got to read, the only thing he got to read is basically that March 21st meeting. And the March 21st meeting is, as we said,
that was wrong for you.
Well, I think so. Although, as I, if I were to rewrite it, I wouldn't have. Look, I'll sit here and talk to you, or Ehrlichman, or anybody on the staff, very freely about things. And I have the kind of mind that runs around. But I would, if I was sitting there talking to a guy about who's going to defect, I wouldn't have said that was how much it was going to cost, and how to deliver the money, and so forth and so on, and so forth and so on. You know what I mean? It is, that's one thing about it. If anybody had a MemCon on that, it would look terrible. It would look terrible. Well, I don't think you get a MemCon, but my point is, all of his testimony on it would be good. Was there ever happened? For the last time, when Dean basically, as I told you, repeated those, I must have called Haldeman in. Then he kept it.
That happened. That's very good that you did.
Yeah.
Therefore, in retrospect.
Because we talked about it. I went over to meeting with him. I said, I mentioned amnesty.
I don't think we have any problem whatsoever with anything that happened on March 21st. And the circumstances are such that we should be able to. I don't believe that people have much credibility. Of course,
he could claim things. He could claim that after March 21st, he would go out to pay $1 million to go out and pay off their claim or something. Suppose he said that.
I think he might have much trouble with that.
More problems for you here?
I hope not.
Fine. Well,
I can see where he's concerned for massive money.
Subpoena?
They feel like because of the subpoena, we should be prepared to take a position on the papers. The question I discussed when we first started here. And what they're proposing is general, is to say nothing will be subpoenaed. We'll be glad to that we won't respond to any subpoenas.
Right.
But that we will be glad to discuss with Mr. Cox or Mr. Dash any request for information that they have. And that we will, that consideration will be given, not consideration, but we'll actually say, is that any specific request for a document will be considered from the standpoint of accepting proof. Put it there.
Well,
what we do is to say we will consider them from the standpoint of executive
government.
Instead of saying flatly that nothing we have conceivably that you could ask, you know, will we give you? And then we take them on case by case.
That's right. We say we can't do this because of executive
government.
But on the other hand, I think it would be good to be forthcoming with regard to the dates you saw me.
Yes. Yes.
I just might bump along.
Go back to the agency at all. January, you saw you only once. And
twice. 27th and 28th, our walk is wrong.
Is it? I have asked for a re-verify on this thing.
27th and 2. Well, it's right with one walk along another. I mean, if you have the 28th, that's wrong.
Maybe not ever.
No, I know one of these did say the 28th. Bob Alden had the same impression. Well, anyway.
consistency.